On the wrong side of Tinseltown, only BFM's man on the street knows where to go for the real scoop. It's Fabian's Hollywood with Fabian Fanboy.
Good morning, Fabian Fanboy.
Good morning, Mike. Happy New Year to you.
Happy 2019 to you. Did you have a lovely, lovely celebration time during the celebration time?
Yeah, I had a pretty nice New Year's Eve.
And I know that
But
I'm trying to talk over you to pretend like you're still in the States, so even though you're still in New Zealand. Like there's a delay.
Yeah. So I'm over on Waiheke. It's very nice here.
Oh, beautiful Waiheke Island. Beautiful. Hey, why not? You know. Hey, how are you?
Indeed. Very well, thanks.
Good. Are you able to keep up to speed with the fast, heady rush of Hollywood from as distant an outpost as Waiheke Island?
I'm keeping casting an eye over things a little bit. Yeah.
Do we talk Golden Globes first?
I guess so. That was a bit of a crazy night. A whole lot of films that people don't like a lot winning all the awards. But pretty good that Into the Spider-Verse got that animated award, because that was an amazing film. I think we talked about that on the last show of the year, didn't we?
Yeah, briefly, but I wouldn't mind going over it again, because I've heard so much good stuff from so many people about it, and I kind of wrote Spider-Man off about six movies ago, but and an animated superhero movie also gives me the shits a wee bit, because I kind of just think it's like, you know, they do those sort of fill-in Batman and Justice League movies and stuff like that. Yeah, you know, half-assed animation, but I just keep getting great reports back about this movie. Tell us why it's such a great movie.
Yeah, this goes well beyond on that, and really takes full advantage of its animated nature to do something very interesting visually. It's almost hard to describe how dazzling this film looks, but it's an adaptation of a character that hasn't really been very well known outside the comics. Miles Morales, the newish Spider-Man, who's half Latino, half American, half African American, sorry, and so sort of this film kind of bookended 2018. It came out here in early 2019, but it as far as Black Panther goes, just in terms of representation and superheroes and stuff, it's achieved a lot. It also has Peter Parker in it. In fact, it has more than one Peter Parker in it. It's all multi-dimensional stuff. But what they've done with the look of the film is it kind of almost, at a glance, it kind of looks like it's an old-school 3D film and you're not wearing the glasses when you see the background. But what they're actually doing is they're replicating a misprinted comic where one of the colors is slightly off.
So cool. Like
the green is sort of off to the left a bit. That's only in the background. But a lot of people, when they sit down to watch, they're like, hang on, is something weird happening here? But it's supposed to look like that. It's an amazing, amazing film, and full of joy, and definitely reinvigorates the character of Spider-Man on the big screen. Very cool.
Who sold the idea to that? I mean, did that come from the Spider-Man people, or is that a sort of like some maverick director coming in with an idea, or like... Because you'd be hard pressed when you come. Hey, I know you've finished doing Spider-Man movies for the ninth time, but I've got another idea about a Spider-Man movie. So who did that? Who was responsible for that?
Well, it was released by Sony, who aren't Marvel themselves. They still have the rights to Spider-Man. They collaborated with Marvel to make that live-action Spider-Man movie. They've kind of got an arrangement, but Sony have been trying to get their own little kind of Spider universe thing going. The main example of that last year being Venom, which I wasn't a big fan of, because...
Nor I.
That's a character that doesn't make sense when Spider-Man isn't around, and he wasn't in the film. But the people I guess we can credit a bit creatively for this are Phil Lord and Chris Miller, who are the people behind those Jump Street movies and the Lego movie, and they were also...
Oh, right, okay, yeah, I see.
Han Solo film.
Young
These
Turks.
Are very, very interesting guys. But there's three directors on this film, and they didn't direct this film because animation, you sort of, it's a very laborious task directing animation. So I guess if there's people to credit for the kind of crazy boldness of his film. It's Lord and Miller. But really cool. But I also saw Aquaman over the break, and I thought that was fantastic as well.
I saw a dodgy old knockoff, why were you even watching that version, and it didn't do it for me that way. Tell me why it was good on the big screen.
Oh, my.
I know. Chastise me all you like, but it just it came up, and I wandered in there.
Oh, boy.
And I
well,
thought,
the cool thing about Aquaman is they made him half Maori. How awesome is that?
Yeah, like it sort of starts off and you go, oh, have they sort of, am I just reading a bit more into this than I thought? Well, hang on, look, there's Tim Morrison there as well. Bloody hell.
They do a hongi. He talks about his tomoko. He does these stances when he's fighting. It's like Aquaman's Maori. Pretty awesome.
I like the way that Jason Momoa does. He's a hottie. He's a hunk. You know what I mean? And he doesn't work that. Yeah, he just goes about his business and his character is a bit of a dick in some parts of it. And they could really hunk him up in some parts, but they don't. You know, it's quite good. I like that part of it because that would have made it super boring.
I really enjoyed Aquaman. It was a film that was so giant and huge and expansive, but it all sort of felt like it came together for me. It's I think it's amazing when something that big and weird and wide and epic can feel just sort of like a nice little story that you get on board with. So all credit to Australian director James Wan, who I think is probably responsible for there being a Once Were Warriors joke in there.
That is weird.
Of the American audience.
That's really weird. That joke, though.
Pretty awesome.
Thing is, do you call it? I mean, it was a joke, wasn't it? Which is a weird thing that it was a joke because it was.
Well, that was for the New Zealand audience. Yeah, yeah. I think I don't even know if Australians would get that. But just briefly on a film coming out this week in New Zealand that should be noted, a coming of age film called Eighth Grade. Which I still haven't seen, but I'm super excited for it. It's one of the best reviewed films of last year.
Wow.
It's a film about a young teenage girl and kind of tackles kind of the awful awkwardness of the teenage years, which a lot of films have done, but this one.
But let's be realistic, though. The teenage years are awkward. Those years are very awkward.
And, it was written and directed by an interesting young guy called Bo Burnham, who was a YouTube star himself originally, and then sort of had a TV show for a while and was having supporting roles in Judd Apatow films, and now he's sort of reinvented himself as this writer director that everyone wants to work with, and I'm really excited to see Eighth Grade, and that's out, and the Oscars have no host, so that's that.
Well, what's the story there? What's the what do you mean the Oscars have no host? Should I chuck my hat in the ring?
They've decided to go with no host, which they did in 1989. No singular host, which is kind of a bummer, but also understandable because putting all the Kevin Hart stuff aside, Oscar hosts, pretty thankless job. You never get credit if it goes well, and then if it goes badly, you get all the blame. So I can understand no one wanting to do that.
Yeah, but it wouldn't be affecting no one wanting to do it. It would be to have to go through all this, and now it's all that, and now
everyone's turning them down. Literally, the people they're asking are saying, "Hell's no, I'm not stepping into that."
This is a massive opportunity for some young go-getter, surely, or old burnout who needs a third time round.
They don't break in young talent on the Oscars. It's sort of, you get someone people have heard of, and the people that have heard of it, they've asked, are saying, no, thank you. The Academy.
Wow. The Academy, yeah.
And it'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
Hey, just speaking of hosts, is it Sandra or Sarah O? Sandra O, isn't it? Who was hosting the Golden Globes and won a Golden Globe herself. Has that happened very often?
It's happened before. Amy Poehler won.
Amy Poehler, yeah.
One year when her and Tina Fey were hosting. I thought Sandra Oh and Andy Samberg did a good job. There was a positivity to their gentle ribbing of the Hollywood stars that I thought was perhaps refreshing in these cynical times. And everything's about how how much everyone hates everyone and how everything sucks.
Have you seen the Robin Williams documentary?
Yeah, that was cool.
Have you seen the HBO?
Yes, I have. Come Inside My Mind. Amazing stuff.
Isn't that amazing? Isn't that absolutely one of the greatest things you've ever seen? And what about that the something which I never knew even happened, let alone had the pleasure of watching before? And I'm pretty sure it was the Golden Globes, wasn't it, when he went up? He was nominated with Jack Nicholson and Daniel Day-Lewis for Best Actor or something like that, and they both won it as a tie. But then Jack Nicholson got him up on stage to speak anyway, and he just owned the room. How great was that?
Yeah, it was sort of like they just basically put the joke was that everyone except Robin Williams won.
Yeah.
And so they
which could really suck if you're wrong. Like, I mean, yeah, it's a professional. It could really suck, but he just did such a. It's actually one of the best things I've ever seen. I thought it was so cool.
I think that might have been the Screen Actors Guild Award.
No, you're right, actually. Maybe. It was the SAGs. That's right.
One of my favorite still parts awesome, of that doco is when there's the. They have the big clip of him swearing terribly in Mork and Mindy bloopers and those scenes where he's talking to Orson in the black void, which were also always weird scenes to me. And to see him, swear like a sailor in those scenes was highly amusing to me.
Someone's asking here, did you get a chance to see Jonah Hill's film Mid-90s yet?
Yeah, fantastic movie.
What's that about? Mid-90s, obviously.
Yeah, it's about a bunch of little skate rats and coming-of-age film. Very cool film.
All right. Okay, my friend. Well, will you be joining us from New Zealand or LA next week?
I'll be back in the land of the free and the wall next week, so I'll speak to you from there.
Thank you very much, Fabian Fanboy. Hooray.
Cheers, Mike. Bye.
You'll be listening to Fabian's Hollywood with Fabian Fanboy.
It is.